Welcome everyone back to our community series. Thank you for those who are here in community today and those who are watching online. We are so thankful that you join us in community as we've been going through our Sunday school with worship kind of change up format for each and every one of us. So we're thankful to keep going through this through these weeks together, and we've just been kind of diving into the Bible, looking at it at a glance, talking about how to know the Bible. Today we're going to be talking about how to study the Bible again, but to kick things off, let two people know that God's love is true. God's love is true, right? God's love is true. God's love is true. I know. We got to be reminded of that, right? We got to talk about that and know that God's love is true, because we look for true love everywhere, right? But God is the only one who is love, who has sent us his true love in Jesus. And so today, last week we started on talking about how to study the Bible. This week we're going to have some application and have some fun. If you didn't bring your sheet from last week, it's all right. We got some when we get to group time, just applying a little bit of what we studied last week. So this has kind of been a two-part study on how to study the Bible. So if you've got your Bibles today, we've been talking about Scripture being the foundation of everything that we're building upon these past few weeks. If you got your Bible, go ahead and get to the same verse we've started these past few weeks with, and it's 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. If you don't have a Bible, as always, we'd love to give you one. We can get one in your hands. If you like to do things digitally, as most of us do, we talked about it a little bit earlier. You can go to the free Vine Church app. I promise you there's no spyware on there. There's some AI bots that might talk to you about your feelings, bank accounts, previous pets, favorite teacher, mom's maiden name. All that good stuff. Honestly, we're not going to do that. But there's something. Honestly, we're not, because I'm not smart enough to figure that out. So that being said, you can do that. This is a great series to do it. There's a notes tab in there where you can take notes. But every week, Zach Candler and our Vine Production team will make sure, wherever you're watching around the world, that the Scripture's on the screen. We try to be excited for that. But as we go into this Scripture, the reason we're doing that is so in the world we live in, not many people, we forget that we have access to these things, but some people in the world still don't have access to their Bible in their language. So if you're at 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, give me an amen. I got to do it too. Okay, on the count of three. One, two, three. Amen! There we go. That's better. I need it too. We all need it today. We all seem to be first week of school for some reason. Gets us a little bit down. So 2 Timothy 2:15, and it says this: do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. This is why we're unpacking the Bible. We talked about, again, the Bible at a glance, how to study our Bible. Now we're talking about how to know our Bible. So a quick recap of last week. Before we go on, we talked about preparing in prayer last week. We talked about having some observation, understanding what's going on around us, looking at the interpretation of the Scripture and applying it to our lives so that we can live out 2 Timothy 2:15. Now, again, a recap of last week. When we talk about Scripture, that big seminary word, hermeneutics, is what we're walking through these last week and this week. And all that is, literally, is letting the Scripture speak to you instead of trying to make the Scripture say what you want it to. Anytime I try to make the Bible say what I want to, it usually is because of my sin that I want to do that, right? I don't know if maybe you are there, maybe you aren't, just when it goes there. So let's let the Scripture speak for itself, because that's what's going to prepare us to be able to correctly handle the word of truth. And last week we talked about how we do that. We look at the structure of the Scripture, the grammar of the Scripture, the context of the Scripture, everything that's going on with the Scripture, so that way we can clearly understand it. Because once you can understand something, then you can teach it. So that being said, the fifth thing that we were going to talk about last week that we continued into this week, after application, is something that's not going to be shocking to you. Repetition. We got to repeat the process over and over and over again. We can look at the verse. We got to look and say, does this verse have more to offer? And to see that, God sees the importance of repetition. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 and 7 says this. This is what God says to us. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. This should look very familiar to the verse from Deuteronomy we talked about last week. It's a repeated verse in the Bible. This is the importance of God saying the same thing in a different way to us in the same chapter of the Bible. Repetition matters. Because the truth of the matter is sometimes it doesn't click until we do it over and over again, right? What is it, 10,000 hours to master anything? Let me ask you something. What if you read the same verse 10,000 days in a row? I promise you would say something different every day. But sometimes I just skip over it. I could read Jesus wept every day 10,000 days in a row, and I promise you it would say something different to me every time. What is that, 10,000 days? What's that, 30-something years, 30? There you go, almost 30 years, 27 years. So right at 28 years, the same verse. Man, do you think about back when you were 28 years old, some of the decisions you made that you knew were right that weren't right? Think about that. Repetition. Sometimes we have to do it over and over and over again. And the reason that we read the same verse over and over again, I'm going to read a verse here in a minute. That's one of my verses I go to over and over and over again to help us unpack this here in a little bit. It's because that verse will always speak to you in a new way, but specifically it will speak to you in the season that you're in. That's important. So sometimes don't give up on a verse. If you read it and you're just like, Jesus wept, okay, he cried. That doesn't make sense. But then why did he weep? He weeps because Lazarus is in the tomb. He weeps over Jerusalem, how he wishes he could gather them like a hen gathers their chicks, that they would just have faith in him. He weeps because he knows that's where he's about to go. Jesus wept. We can just dive into that. Literally, you could go to Genesis 1 and talk about in the beginning, but if you know me, we're going to go somewhere that's going to be very familiar before I get way off topic here, and we're going to go to my life verse, which is John 15:5. If you got your Bible and you want to get to John 15:5, I'm going to turn there with you because it's a good idea to always practice turning in your Bible or flipping there wherever you want to. But obviously it's John 15:5. Kind of know this one. But John 15:5 says this, and what we're going to do is, you have your sheet from last week, it's all right. We're going to do Matthew 6:33 in your groups. But I'm not going to go as in-depth as I could go with it, but we're going to read this together and I'm going to walk through it. So John 15 verse 5 says this, I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what, church? Nothing. I have nothing. 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 No, I'm just kidding. But God, Jesus is saying, yes, you ain't got nothing if I ain't got you. I'm just saying. Nothing. We can do nothing in the Lord. So let's look at this really quick. You can do it in the Bible. It can stay on the screen or not. It's totally fine. I know this is going to be one that I don't mind if it stays up there. But let's look at this. It starts with a pronoun, I. Who is the I in this? Jesus. Jesus is the I. But what's even more important is in our Bibles, it puts a lowercase for the next letter, but it should be all uppercase. I space A-M should both be uppercase. The next one is I am. So Jesus is the I. The next set of it is I am when we look at this scripture. I am. Think about I am in the Bible. I am means Jehovah or Yahweh, the word that is not supposed to be spoken by you and I, but on this side of the cross, it is not blasphemy to God to speak Yahweh or Yahweh. Yahweh is mentioned 7,000 plus times in the Old Testament. So if you just stop there, you could spend a day looking at every time I am is spoken in the Old Testament, and that's 7,000. We're not going to do the math on that. I'm like, 7,000 divided by 365, still in 20 years or so, almost 20 years. It's crazy. I am. Jesus in the New Testament has the seven I am statement, right? I'm the light of the world. I'm the bread of life. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the door. I am the vine as we are doing this, as we're talking about this. I'm the way, the truth, the life. More on that in a minute. I'm the resurrection and the life. More and more and more we can see this word I am is important. Why is it there? Because Jesus talks about in verse 1 through 4 of John 15 how his Father is the gardener who prunes it. But Jesus speaking I am shows the deity that he is, that he is the Son of God, fully God and fully man. I am. That's what we got just out of those first two words. And I could still keep going, and I get excited as you say, but I want to keep you all day here. But this is how you can take a scripture and continue to break it down. I am. He goes on to say this. He says what he is. I am the vine. So the vine would be the next thing if you were breaking this down. So it starts with the pronoun I. Then it gives a description of who God is, the name of God, I am. Then it says, the vine. Now you and I will be like, I'm at the vine. Hey, like that being said, but I am the vine. This is important for each and every one of us because in the Old Testament, again, Israel is who God calls the vine. You can see it throughout Psalm. You can see it throughout Isaiah. You can see it throughout Jeremiah. That God calls Israel the vine, his chosen vine that rejected him. The vine. So now God says, instead of being with the vine that rejected you and rejected me, excuse me, I'm going to come down as the vine to you, my one and only son, Jesus Christ. And he's going to be the new vine that now brings Jew and Gentile together, the fullness of my promise together. And church, you and I are Gentiles. We're not Jewish by birth. We are what Romans 11, what Paul writes to the Romans church in Romans 11. We are the wild olive shoot that God grafts in to the new vine that is Jesus Christ. So Jesus is saying, now I am the new Jerusalem, the new vine, the new covenant, the fullness of the covenant of God. I am the vine. He's on to say something for you and I. Wonderful semicolon there means now all of a sudden the focus is off of who Jesus is to who you and I are. You are the branches. Before we go deeper into that, John 15, 6 describes the other branch here, and we'll get deeper in that in a minute. But church, does it say that you and I are the vine? No, right? You and I are the branches. We are all born branches, either connected to the vine or disconnected to the vine. We are only connected to the vine through Jesus Christ, grafting us in, reconciling us back into that. Let me ask you something, church. Can a vine support itself? Or can a branch, excuse me, support itself? Or does it need the vine? Does a branch have roots? Can a branch grow fruit on its own? It cannot do anything unless it is connected to the vine. So you and I, church, are the branches. And through that branches, Jesus is going to tell us we're going to do something as the branches in a moment. But there is something that's important before we get there. So I am the vine. You are the branches. He now gives us a command, a verb. If you remain or abide, depending on the translation of the Bible you have, if you remain or abide, those next three words. Abide is the word for the vine in 2026. What does abide mean? It means to remain, to dwell, and stay in a deep relationship with. So Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, but now we have a command. If you remain, we have to abide in him. So it means you and I have a choice. We can either remain in him, and in a moment we'll see, we can not remain in him. But you and I have the free will to make a choice. So if you remain in what? In me. If you remain is the command that God, that Jesus is giving us. Remain in what? He answers, in me. That me, again, is Jesus. If you remain in me. And then he goes on to say, and I in you. I in you. Now, we could keep going on and on with that before I get too excited, but if you remain in me and I in you. Church, how can Jesus remain in us? Can we do it on our own? No, we have to have faith in him, right? We have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, the pneuma, which is the breath of God, the Holy Spirit. We can only have Christ remain in us if we trust him as our Lord and Savior. So only through Christ alone can we remain in Christ alone and him now dwell fully in us. So if you remain in me and I in you, he gives us the command to remain in him and him in us. Church, Matthew 7, we talked about it. That's why it's the scariest scripture in the Bible. Many can say, Lord, Lord, on that day, but Jesus will say, I did not know you. That is the people that did not have him remain in them. They knew of him, but they did not surrender to him as Lord and Savior. So he gives the command, if you remain in me and I in you, then something will happen. You will bear Future tense verb, right? You will bear. We bear bears. I'm just kidding. You will bear. You will bear. It's an action. It means that you and I have something that happens through us. It's not something that you and I actually do. The action that you and I do is to remain in the vine, connected to the vine, and the vine in us. And then something will happen. We will bear something. So it's conditional upon us remaining in the Lord. Really quick, church, is it in our will or in His will that we remain in Him and Him in us? Our will is to remain in Him, but it's only by His will that He remains in us. And therefore, we will bear something in a moment. Now, here's the thing that's exciting to me about this. It's a reminder that our hope is in Christ alone. Anything you and I get to experience is not because of us. It's in spite of us. In spite of us. That should make us be excited, because that means in the end that God's already wrote this. It doesn't mean that we're just drones walking around. It means that we can't mess it up, no matter how hard we try. Ask Abraham. Ask David. Ask Jacob. Ask any of them how much they can mess it up. What will you and I bear? Look at this imagery. Some fruit, a little fruit, no, much fruit. More than we could ask or imagine. Much fruit. You and I, the branch, connected to the vine, Jesus remains in us, and we remain in Jesus, and He in us, we will bear much fruit. Hey, before we go on, I want to ask, is the branch trying to compare itself to the other branches and how much fruit it's going to bear? Is the branch worried about how many birds are perched on the branch above it? Only if it's getting pooped on, right? But like that being said, is it? No, the branch's job is just to remain in the vine. And the next branch's job is just to remain in the vine to bear fruit. What kind of fruit? Galatians 5, 22 to 25 tells us the fruit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, kindness, and self-control. Right? The fruit of the Spirit. That is what you and I are going to bear. The fruit of the Spirit. I had to write it out here because I always forget one. So what fruit will we bear? Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, found in Galatians 5. 22 to 25. Our job is just to remain in the vine to bear fruit. And we can't worry about how much more or less fruit another branch is producing. Our job is to remain. And the more we remain in the vine, the stronger our connection to the vine grows. The stronger our connection to the vine grows, the more fruit we can bear. But we got to be reminded that verse 1 through 4 reminds us that even at times, God will prune us to bear more fruit. Then he goes on to give an adjective describing something. Apart from me. That's right after a semicolon again. Remember, he is shifting the perspective. Apart from who? That is Jesus. Apart is to show the difference. This is a comparison we talked about last week between those who remain and those who don't, who stay as a branch, not connected to the vine. Apart from me. John 15, 6 tells us what's going to happen for those apart from Jesus. And it says those branches that are not connected to the vine will be thrown into the fire. Eternal fire. That means they will be in hell, eternally separated from the very source of life they were created to be in. So apart from Jesus, what is this? What happens when you're apart from Him? You can do nothing. Nothing. You can build all the buildings, give all the money you have, all your time, talent, and treasure to the soup kitchen. You can support every one of those commercials that have the dogs crying that say, in the arms of the angel, every time. You can do all that you want to with that. We can build every shoebox for Operation Christmas Child we want to. It doesn't matter if Jesus isn't in it. It doesn't matter. Apart from him, we can do nothing, nothing, nothing. If that's the case, this is almost a command as well. Who should we seek first in everything we do? Christ. Who should we work unto? Christ. Because apart from him, we can do nothing. But I don't know about you. I don't like to go to Christ first. I'm just running late. I'm running late for my appointment, God. Just let me get through the red lights, and I'll be right on time in the parking lot. No, apart from him, we can do nothing. Because in our own hope, we can never be connected to the vine. We're disconnected from it, and we are left hopeless. So the real question and answer that's happening here in John 15:5 is this. Do we want God in control or me in control? Personally, do you want God in control or do you want to be in control? You and I in control, living for our own glory, trying to produce fruit as a branch laying on the ground, not connected to the vine. Talking trash about all the other branches around us, right? Not producing anything meaningful. Dead, hopeless, thrown into the fire, as John 15:6 says. God in control. We're living in full submission to Christ, connected to the vine, bearing fruit, serving others, living out love God, love others, because that fruit isn't for us. Does the branch eat the fruit? That'd be kind of weird, right? Only do the trees come alive in Lord of the Rings, right? Like, that would be really weird if the branch ate the vine or the branch ate the fruit. But it bears fruit. And so I want you to know today, God's love is true. What we have to be reminded of is all of us are born as those branches disconnected from the vine. How are we disconnected? Because you and I are born into sin. You say, I've never sinned. Well, sin is anything that is against the perfect will of God. And no matter how great of a Hall of Fame life you and I live, we can never match God's perfection, never match the righteousness that we were created to be in, to be with him and right relationship with him. And instead of leaving us as that branch disconnected from the vine, he comes down as his one and only son, Jesus Christ, as the vine to reconcile us back to God, a creator God. And Jesus lives the perfect sinless life you and I can't live, matching God's perfect standard, clothing us in his righteousness. He dies the death that you and I deserve, so that way we don't have to pay the penalty for sin anymore. He has done it eternally, now giving us a connection to the vine itself, reconciling us back to God. But he loves us enough, he doesn't stay dead. He rises again on the third day so that we can have life and have it to the full. You and I can live the full John 10:10 life we were made to created to do and live. We can bear fruit, what you and I were made to do. But you see, the problem is many religions of the world will tell those branches laying on the ground that they're not going to go through the fire. They will tell those branches living on the ground that if you find the way, you will find truth and you might find life. But only one has walked this earth that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that is Jesus Christ. John 14:6 reminds us of that. This is what Jesus answers. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And in other words, you and I can't be reconciled back to God except through Christ. We are those branches dead in our sin without hope, and the fire's waiting. The question is, what will we choose? Will we continue to try to be in control of our life and try to go down in a blaze of glory? Or will we choose Jesus as our Lord and Savior and be with him eternally in glory? So with every head bow and every eye closed, we do this each and every week for the benefit of those coming to faith for the first time. Not the words of this prayer that saves you, but the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. Here at the Vine Church, nobody prays alone, and so we pray for the hearts of those who are coming to know Christ for the first time. So we're going to repeat the words of this prayer of faith out loud together. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserved, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day, that I may have life. Take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you, step by step, the rest of my life, the best way I know how. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in the house or online, I'm going to ask you if for the first time you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You have connected to the vine for the first time. I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. If you're watching online, you can raise your hand. If you're in the house, if you're throughout the week, you can let us know. You can leave a raised hand emoji. You can reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv or hello@thevine.tv. Shoot us a message. We want to celebrate this decision with you because here's the thing. Being connected to the vine isn't your finish line. It's the starting block of the rest of your eternity. And the way that you bear much fruit is being connected to a local church near you. And we want to help you do that if the vine isn't the one for you. For the rest of us, you can look up. We're about to go ahead and have a group time. I'm going to dismiss you online, and I'm going to let you know as we go through this group time, we are breaking down Matthew 6:33 during our group time. We're going to have our men in our group, our women in the group, and our Spur students in the group. And basically, we're going to walk through what I just did. Some folks did it last week at home. Some folks are going to do it in the group. And the discussion time, what you're going to do is you're going to break down Matthew 6:33 together, and then you're going to share what you learned new about Matthew 6:33. And if you don't know Matthew 6:33, I'm going NKJV on you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Hallelujah. You remember that one. Yeah, see, somebody remembers those. So that being said, if that's you, that's what you're going to break down in your group. For the rest of you, we would love for you to join us next week because we're going to start it. It's probably going to be 3 weeks on this, so buckle your seatbelts, folks. So it will be the trifecta. We're going to talk about God's character for the next 3 weeks, and we're going to break down attributes of God's character together. So we would love to see you. We've got a seat saved for you. We hope you have a great week, and always remember, the best is still yet to come.